morning again, both here, everyone in our presence and in the room, and those online. We are glad that you're joining us today on this day that started out rainy because, well, it's the Northwest, but is going to be gorgeous by the time we send you out there for our barbecue and our hangout today. Well, when I was about 5 years into being a youth pastor, this is 20 years ago in the early 2000s, we got together as a bunch of youth pastors. I believe, Tim, you actually hosted this one, and I can't remember if you led it or not, but whoever was leading this group of youth pastors, this gaggle we like to be called, ultimately said, hey, let's go around the room and let's talk about what you're reading other than the Bible that's helping you grow as a husband, or as a spouse, as a youth pastor, as a Christ follower. Let's share something. And they start, man, the guys around that table started sharing some kicking authors. I mean, they're calling out Blackaby and Eldridge and Stott and Tozer. And luckily, I was at the end of the sharing circle. So I had the opportunity to be praying fervently, how do I make Tom Clancy spiritual? How do I make Tom Clancy spiritual? And I probably came up with something that day, but it wasn't actually till last year, almost 20 years later, in reading a Tom Clancy book, I found a spiritual moment from Tom Clancy. And here's what he said as I read last year what he wrote. He didn't write it. Someone else did. He's dead. But he said, a change in results necessitates a change in behavior. And just like all those years ago when I realized from that moment where I could not find a spiritual thing or an area where I was actively, intentionally growing in my life, I realized that was a little bit of a kick in the butt for me. And by a year later, I had enrolled in a graduate degree. I had begun studying again, and God had ignited in me a passion to be a lifelong learner. And ultimately, for me, learners are readers. And so that kick in the pants realized that I needed to be reading and engaging and having influence in my life that helped me grow in my faith and as a person. And so I had a mentor from afar as I began to study named Dallas Willard. And I read him, and he had a lot in common with Tom Clancy, at least when it came to this thought. Because I would read in Dallas Willard's writings, he says, the system, your system, is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. Your system right now is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. And so let me add, if I can, one more thing to Dallas Willard's thoughts with one more question. Are you really okay with those results? Your system is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting, but are we okay with those results? Whatever you're doing or not doing in your faith, are you and I satisfied? Are we delighted with the results that we're seeing? Do we currently encounter God in captivating ways, whether it be in prayer or in His Word? Do we daily feel led by God to walk into greater purpose and greater impact in the world and the lives around us? When we think of our finances and look at our finances, are we overjoyed with gratitude because of the way God has given to us and the way we can be generous with that? Or do we feel anxiety and worry in our finances? Are we actively pursuing those who are outside of our faith but inside of our reach and seeing God work in their lives because we are not only pursuing, but we are petitioning God to see Him working in their lives? Maybe somebody at some point told you that C's get degrees, and so that goes for your faith life as well. Do we experience authentic life-giving relationships with other Jesus people where, as Drew said, that we sharpen each other? Not just we are in proximity or we have social convenience with them, but we are being seen and known intimately by other Christ followers. Do you feel like your faith is alive? Or is it stuck, stale, stagnant, dry? Do you consider that, you know what? I've grown enough. I know enough. I've read the Bible enough. I'm good just to coast. And we'll just see what happens. If any of these thoughts have even an inch, even a millimeter in your thoughts or in your conscience, then I don't think it's a coincidence that you're here this morning. And you're not going to hear me guilt you. You're not going to hear me shame you. I'm not going to berate you to do better. Work harder. You can't handle the truth. Show me the money. Got to get my movie lines in there. You're not going to hear that this morning, but you will hear me invite you into a deeper and more fulfilling relationship and existence with Jesus and his followers. Because Jesus is so much more than whatever we are experiencing right now. He's just too big not to be more. He wants more of us because he has so much more for us. He wants to move us out of being complacent and consumer-minded and into being connected. And from being connected into being committed, and from being committed into being compelled. And somewhere on that continuum, you and I find ourselves. We find ourselves there, and there is another step in the journey to take in our faith. And so today is meant to be an encouragement to take that next step, an invitation to do that in a very clear and concise way. And I can guarantee you, if you take that step, it will be life altering. And so we're starting a 10-week, all hands on deck, church-wide experience. I love our youth section over here. You guys, you're doing it too. Not only Sunday morning, but in your youth ministries. I love that. There are going to be options that Pastor Melanie is helping her leaders and her students integrate with some of these thoughts too. In football terms, because it is football season, this is an all-out blitz as a church on complacency and in feeling stuck. And it's just not our idea. We didn't just come up with this idea. It's rooted in Scripture. So I want to invite you this morning to open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. We've regularly come back to this. It's a great place to look at when we feel stuck. And I just want to be transparent this morning. This whole idea of rooted, while it has its roots in Acts, it's not even our curriculum. We are borrowing from a church in California called Mariners Church. I appreciate their pastors. A number of them are influences in my life. They're very solid, but in reading that, it's not even theirs either. They've kind of Americanized it and put it into a good package for us as a church and for their church, but they actually took this from their experience with a church in Nairobi, Kenya, the Mavuno Church. And so we're getting worldwide with our stuff this morning. And so we've taken the great parts of what they have developed, and we've added a smidge of our own flavor and a morsel of where we need to grow and where we know that we as a church have work to do, and then we're looking for God to do the rest. And so we start in Acts chapter 2 today. It says, "Now when they, the large crowd, heard what they had said, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So when we look at this idea of rooted, there are seven rhythms that we find within this passage. And by no coincidence, these align very nicely with our vital signs that we continue to talk about this year. Because we went to this passage to find our vital signs as well. We call them vital signs. The curriculum we're using, Rooted, calls them rhythms. And so let's look at where kind of they are equal. When we look at the one for repentance, we see that in verses 37 where Peter is calling them to repent. This is crossing from old life, in old death into new life. And that is the very beginning of a relationship with Jesus, where he does what only he can do and moves us and makes our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And then what the rhythms of both prayer and daily devotion are in the rhythms, we talk about walking with God. That there is a one-on-one, a personal relationship, that God knows us by name and wants us to know him. He wants to reveal himself and he wants us to listen. And so we put that in the idea of faith habits of walking with God. What does your relationship with God work? How do you answer that question? How are you growing? And then the next rhythm is serving in community. We see that in verse 44. They gathered in many homes and they brought food and they shared food and they shared with each other needs. That takes hands and feet. That takes people at work within the community of faith. And so for us, it's the serving on teams. You were greeted this morning, I'm sure, with our Starting Point team has new blue shirts on today. All right, new year, new shirt. I love it. You probably had coffee or some kind of beverage that was created over there, or you're going to be fed today after church. And so serving on teams and serving God's family God's family together is part of what we do. We see sacrificial generosity, that rhythm here. We talk about giving with generosity. The idea that being generous is the ethos of the Christ follower in the New Testament. And so can you imagine a community that says, and there was not a need amongst them, because needs were met by others. This idea of the rhythm of worship, you've engaged in that today. Worship is so much more than just singing, even though that is a great part of it. It's coming together, it's being together, it's living together, it's doing life together. And so we talk here about living in community. You can only know so many people, and to know this many people, you really need to make it smaller. And so we do community groups, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And you see that there's a plural in our passage today. They didn't have 3,000 people meet in one home. They met in homes. They divided up. They went from big group to small group. And finally, we see the share your story. Do you notice right at the end of our passage today, and daily, day by day, people were being added to their numbers. How? Well, why is that? I love the way the Chosen says it. He says, I don't know much about Jesus. All I know is I was one way before I met him, and now I'm another way. Right? And that's the bringing your one. There, who's the one person outside of your faith but inside of your reach that looks at you and says, you're a little different. And you live out the scripture that Peter tells us, always be prepared to give an answer. And you just share your story. I love how Cora, who's here today in person, shared with us last week her story. And so we will look at these rhythms and our vital signs over the next 10 weeks. And we're not going to be called to perfect them. I don't even think we need to become completely competent in them over the 10 weeks. But we need to be aware of them. We need to begin to find out and ask, where is the next step that I can take? And as we have prayed through and thought through and developed this series all the way from last March, getting ready to launch it today, we have had one motivation at the center of this. That we as a church and you individually would encounter and experience God in a fresh way and be rooted further in God's love and his grace. Our prayer for this series is found in Ephesians. It's going to be up on the screen here, where it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wouldn't you love that to be true? And so Sundays this fall, we will aim to be rooted and grounded in love so that we can comprehend by God's grace further who God is, who we are, who he wants us to be, and what he's calling us to do. I'm excited to have some new voices on the preaching team this year. Along with Pastor Jesse and I, John Arntzen will begin preaching in this fall. You've already met Drew. Didn't he do a great job today? Yeah. You'll be seeing more of Drew on stage in roles like that, and then I'm looking forward to him preaching as part of our Ephesians series starting in the new year. And so we as a preaching team are already starting to get together and learn together and be together and start shaping where we continue to grow as a preaching team. Over these next 10 weeks, we will be talking on Sunday morning about the big questions. We're going to kind of touch on these as kind of intertwined, but ultimately those aren't our topics. Our topics over the next 10 weeks are questions like, who is God? Because your version of God depends on your thoughts on God, depends on how you live out a relationship with God. So who is he? How does he describe and define himself? How do we listen and hear from him? Where is he in the midst of suffering and injustice? A big part of what we are experiencing as both a country and a world right now. Is there an enemy? Scripture tells us there is. It's probably not who you think it is. So we'll talk about that. How does God regard money? Always a fun topic. But he tells us, and we should know these things. And what is the purpose of our lives? And so these times on Sunday mornings will actually launch us into the rhythms and the practices that will happen during the week, that you will live out, that we will live out, that we saw the early church develop in their faith habits that formed their faith and lives in Jesus. And this idea of being rooted has one more place in Scripture I want to make sure we see very clearly this morning. So I want to invite you to open one more time in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Here's the little Bible teacher in me. It's Psalm chapter 1 in the book of Psalms. All right, each psalm. Okay, I could go off on that one, but Psalm chapter 1. In the book of Psalms. It's not Psalms 1. Psalm 1 in the book of Psalms. If you're there, hear these words. Blessed is the one, this is the righteous one. Your translation may say man, it's man or woman. Blessed is the one, the righteous one, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted or rooted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. If we're just to take a minute to walk through this psalm, there are some things I want us to note. The first is that this is a tale of two roots. This identifies for us where you are planted. Because when what you're rooted in will always show up in what you're reaching for. The way of the wicked, that's a stagnant life. Do you notice the progression here in Psalm 1 towards apathy? Look at your Bibles, if you will. Notice where the wicked are going, right? They're walking. They're walking around doing their own thing. Then they stand. Most people in that category will stand and point at what they don't like and what they don't want and where their opinions are to be said. And then you notice what happens to the wicked? They sit down. And they're like, I'm not moving at all. There is a progression towards stagnation with the wicked. The roots of the lethargic are a system that are connected to voices and influences and inputs that reflect scoffing, active sin, complaining, self-indulgence, and personal preferences. It's not so with the blessed. Right? They are rooted where? We see it in verse 3. In God's law, in his word. It's God's word, the truth that informs their steps, wisdom and discernment that are gleaned for the nourishment of their lives. They seek the input from God, from His Spirit, from the people in their lives who reflect who God is, so they are connected to Him. And so this morning we acknowledge that your roots are perfectly planted to produce the results you're getting. Your roots are perfectly planted to produce the results you're getting. Are you okay with those results? Are you content with what that looks like? Psalm 1 tells us a tale of two roots. It also tells us the fruit of two roots, what we're producing. Now, your life and my life is producing fruit. The real question is it fruit worth eating? I remember going to a fruit tree once and grabbing it and being so hungry and looking forward to it, and it was inches from my lips when I felt something wiggling in my hand. Yeah. Full of worms. It was fruit, though. You ever have one of those crab apples or those apples and you take it off and you bite it and it's not yet ripe, and so not just your lips but other parts of your body pucker up? And you're just like, oh, it's still fruit, just not good fruit. Our life will be fruitful. The question is, what kind of fruit are we having? Healthy fruit does not become healthy by accident. You can't have an unhealthy root system and expect that the tree and the branches and the yield and the fruit will be good. If you're finding yourself frustrated, inconsistent, empty, flailing between highs and lows, between stability and instability, then your roots are not deeply rooted in the stream of living water. Your system, your roots are perfectly planted to produce the results you're getting. Healthy fruit is the byproduct of a healthy root system. Jesus tells his followers in John 7, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The psalmist in Psalm 1, chapter verse 2-3 says, "The righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water, living water." Jesus, I think, draws to this analogy. It's well known in his world and with his people. What the psalmist speaks of is this tree that is rooted to the source of life, and that life then nourishes the tree, which bears fruit and prospers and has strength in all seasons. It's a fruit of two roots. So we're not on that one yet. Your roots are perfectly watered right now to produce the fruit that you are getting. Are we okay with those results? Are we okay with that fruit? It's the tale of two roots. It's the fruit of two fruits, and it's the fate of two roots. Verses 5 and 6 say that today's roots are tomorrow's reality. That you can't plant chaff and expect a harvest of joy. So right now, are you experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Right, the fruit, and again, in Scripture, in Galatians, when Paul talks about fruit of the Spirit, it's actually one fruit. Again, it's not plural here. It's one fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's one fruit. You can't be like, well, I'm really a strawberry person, so I don't need self-control. I'm more of a kiwi person, so I'll take the love part, but I'm not doing the peace part. It's one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Are you finding that your life is fruitful with that list? Today's roots are tomorrow's reality, and the older I get, and it just happens every year, I'm finding, the question I keep asking myself is this: am I becoming more like me, or am I becoming more like Jesus? My wife and I learned this early on, and it's by God's grace, not because we're smart. Well, she is. I'm not. As a married couple, we just started looking at people who were older than us, ahead in the life, in a season. We would look and we would say, we want to be like them when we grow up. When we saw parents doing parenting better than we did, and their kids were maybe three, five, 7 years older than our kids were, we would just take them out for dinner. We'd invite them over and be like, what are you doing? Teach us. When I look at people that are living life in certain ways better or in a place that I want to be, I go and say, I want to be you when I grow up. And I can name the names of the people over the years that I have asked pour into my life because they're doing things that I want to do when I grow up because I want to look more like Jesus, not more like myself. There are many people in this church, many of you who are a generation older than I am, and I look at you and I've sat down with you and I said, listen, I want to be you when I grow up. Your generosity, your graciousness, your faith. On the same side, there are people that I look at and I say, I don't want to be like you when I grow up. I just don't. A guy named Kerry Newhoff says it best. He says this, as you grow older, you become more of who you already are. Just like your body stiffens, which, yes, I'm finding that too, your personality becomes less flexible. There are some of us that have a trajectory of our lives, whatever age we are, that is stiffening. And it's not about being flexible, although, you know, there's some things in my joints I think need to be a little more flexible, but it's about being more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And the antidote for that is asking, where are my roots planted? Where am I rooted? So just look at your life right now. Think about your life and think about the relationships you have in it with your kids, with your friends, with your grandkids, and say, hey, if I just follow this track all the way through, am I excited about that? Or if it's more of the same and it's just more hurt, more isolation, more people just dismissing you, then you're not growing to look more like Jesus. You're just growing older, looking more like yourself. And I don't want to be like you when I grow up, and you don't want to be like you when you grow up, and so maybe we should be rerooted in Jesus. Because your roots are perfectly planted right now for the destination that you'll end up in. Are you okay with that direction? Do you really want more of the same? And I want to specifically draw our attention as we start our series, as we kick this off, to two things that I think are really, really important. So really important, I said it twice. And it's going to be a big ask. It's going to be a big invite. And I tell my family when I have kind of something that I know that they're going to be like, oh, that's a little hard. I just tell them to prepare their hearts. And so, church family, just prepare your hearts here for the big invite. But I know that if we commit to both of these things over the next 10 weeks, we will not be the same people in 10 weeks that we are sitting here right now. And here's the thing. You won't have to do these things. It's going to be an investment if you choose to. You don't have to. We're not going to kidnap you. Again, I'm not going to guilt and shame you. But I think engaging is one is better than none. But none, it's an option. It's not a good option. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to join us in getting a book. The book looks like this. Pastor Jesse's been selling them the last couple weeks. They're specifically needed if you're going to be in a community group. I'll talk about that in a second. But this book here is just a daily devotional for the next 10 weeks. 5 days a week. They're like maybe 2 pages. Most of it's kind of double-spaced, and so it's really easy to go through. It's 5 days a week, and so you can miss some days. If you miss a couple days, that's okay. Get back on the horse. But this will follow those conversations and those topics, and this is the daily devoted part. This is the in his word and in prayer and trying to find out who God is and the way he talks about some of the things that we experience here in life. And they're only $20. We're not making anything off it. That's exactly what it cost us to buy them and ship them here. And so I would just say that if you want to, and definitely if you're a community group, you're going to need to and want to. But if you're just individual and you're like, hey, I'll do that. I can give you 15 minutes a day. It won't take much more than that to begin to plant new roots in the area that is most beneficial to be rooted in. The second is to join a community group. We've been inviting you to do this for the last couple weeks. I think we're at this church getting a little bit better, but we're kind of last-minute shoppers here. All right, if you've ever asked a lot of people to sign up for things, you know The procrastination bug is strong in this room. But that's okay, because we got a flash sale deal today. You can sign up here anytime. We are starting this week community groups, but if you're out this week and you're like, hey, I can start next week or a couple weeks from now, man, that's better than nothing. And I would love to see everyone here in a community group. And there are, I guarantee you, there are 100 reasons that you can't be in one or that you won't be in one. I get it. So does AI. I asked ChatGPT this week. Here's what I asked it. I said, as a Pacific Northwest Christian that goes to Journey Church, give me 7 excuses why I can't commit to a rooted community group. So here is what it said. The first is a practical excuse. I've already got a weekly Bible study I'm plugged into, so I don't want to spread myself too thin, spiritually speaking. Okay. There's the classic Pacific Northwest response. Sorry, it's hunting season. When I'm at work, I will be in the wilderness, hunting or hiking. Okay? There's the sincere excuse. Honestly, my work schedule is just packed right now. I don't want to commit halfway. I'd rather join when I can give it my full attention. I've never had full attention, so tell me when that happens. There's the introvert response. I'm still recovering from that social trauma of the last Better Together series. And the moments, man, it really knows us. And so I just can't relive that trauma. Or there's the parental excuse. My kids' sports schedules are basically a small group of their own. I just include cleats and orange slices. These are all from ChatGPT. I'm not kidding you. This is what it said. Or there's the weather excuse. Man, I'd love to, but the forecast says chance of rain. And so that means either flooding or Netflix. Or there's the real reason. I've already joined a small group. The barista's at my local coffee shop. And we meet daily at 7 a.m. and my curriculum is guess my order. Now, maybe your explanation is somewhere in there or somewhere in the middle. I mean, AI doesn't know everything. Yet. And I get it. And again, I get that there are 100 reasons that you have. Most of them good, some of them not. Why you can't or you won't. But let me give you one reason to do it. Because you will be better shaped to look and act like Jesus through this rooted experience than I believe any other choice that you can make or not make in the next 10 weeks. And I say that not because I think the curriculum is dynamite. I think it's good. Not because I think the preaching team's on fire. I think they will bring it. And it's not because there's a 5-star chef at one of your host's homes, so just see if you can sign up for that one. No. I believe it because God said that it would be true. Because I believe his promises. And his son said this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because I believe God's going to show up in real, tangible, life-altering ways when we make him a priority, not just part of the list. That he's already pursued us, that he is pursuing us, so that when we respond by arranging our lives in a way, in a posture that says that we want to see more of him doing that in our lives, that he is faithful to show up. He's faithful. And we are calling on God this year to impact us so that we can live out being an impact to our neighbors and neighborhoods. And it starts with choosing to engage God with a posture that says, God, impact me. Because your roots are perfectly planted to produce the results you're getting. Are you okay with those results? Really? The largest organism in the world. It's not a whale. It's not the redwood trees, even though they are large and in charge. It's actually an aspen grove of trees called Pando, and it's in Utah, I believe. There are 40,000 trees in this grove, and they all share one root system. they're not just intertwined, they are connected. They are interconnected. So the storms come, the seasons change, but they stay connected. They draw life not just from the soil, but from each other. And I think that's an amazing picture of Christian community and what it's meant to be. I think that's an amazing picture of what we see in Acts chapter 2. I think it's an amazing picture. Even though in Psalm 1 it's a solitary tree, that's not how God has created us to live this Christian life together. That together we're rooted in Christ and His Word and each other, and we flourish. Psalm 1 reminds us who we are to be rooted in and where we are to be rooted, and together Acts 2 shows us. So let me ask us, are we okay with the results that our root system is producing? And if not, even if we're just an inkling not okay with what's being produced, then maybe it's time to sink our roots deeper into God's Word, into His people, because that's where life is, that's where stability is, that's where fruit is found. And so, this next 10 weeks, would you join me and many others to become rooted in what will ultimately produce fruit? In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord God, we come. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it teaches us that we are to first and foremost put you as our priority. Lord, I thank you that you've not called us to do this alone. And Lord, there are so many pushes and pulls on our schedules, on our lives, on our hearts, on our souls, on our anxiousness and our worries, and so many ways we can be pulled, and that's nothing new. But there is one priority that we should have, and that is you. My mind keeps coming back to your son's words, seek first. Not second, not third, not put it on the list, but first, the kingdom of God. And Lord, we believe for this season of our church's life that you've called us to seek first your kingdom by being rooted, by going together, by putting our arms around each other and saying, we're going in this way together and walking towards the future that you've prepared for us. And so we pray, Lord, that you would turn us into that direction, that you would move us, and that, Lord, we expect you to show up for no other reason than you are faithful to who you are. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.